Hi, everybody. Welcome to Domain Sherpa, and thank you for tuning into the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Sherpa short titled LFG, where Drew and I are joined by Vaughn Lilly and Dan Adamson of the Nova Registry and Link Freedom Group, or LFG, where we talk about the recent announcement of over 300 new GTLD applications. We talk about where things currently stand with the round and the strategy of announcing now and not waiting until October's reveal day. We also talk about LFG's applied extensions, some of the other applications that have been announced by other people, and some of the interesting opportunities surrounding the new GTLDs in general. All that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you could also watch the video version at domainsherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at ds.tv. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button where you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Skiv.com, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. And now, shout out to our sponsors. First, we've got Unstoppable Domains. Unstoppable is the ICANN accredited registrar, giving domainers powerful tools and the lowest pricing in the industry. Get $7.99.com back orders, expired auctions, and tech you can't get anywhere else, like AI search, AI outbounding, and their new AI site builder. They're a one-stop shop for managing costs and boosting sales. And big shout out to Appraise.net. Appraise.net gives you instant AI-powered domain appraisals, a retail price range plus the reasoning behind it, strengths, weaknesses, best use case, and the likely buyer profile for every name. Whether you're buying, selling, or pricing your portfolio, know what your domains are really worth. Claim your first month special at Appraise.net/DomainSherpa. Also, shout out to DNX.com. DNX is the domain name intelligence platform featuring all-in-one search results from the top marketplaces, including GoDaddy, Cedo, and Atom. DNX is the most advanced way to find and acquire your domain name, so go to DNX.com today. And also, big shout out to NameBio. Know what domains are really worth before you buy or sell. NameBio.com gives you searchable access to more than $3 billion in historical domain sales, so you can find comps, spot trends, and make smarter decisions. If you buy or sell domains, NameBio.com is where you check the comps. And also, big shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at MediaOptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and domain investing. And finally, last but not least, we've got NamesCon 2026 taking place November 11th and 12th in Miami. NamesCon Global brings together domain investors, registrars, registries, and digital entrepreneurs to explore the technologies and trends reshaping the online world. So go to namescon.com for more information and to register. And with all that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains, LFG. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J-On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, and I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is the Sherpa Short. We'll pick a topic to dig into, something kind of interesting. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on in the world and a lot of interesting stuff happening in the domain space. So today we're pretty excited. We got some familiar faces with some very, very cool stuff to talk about, but we're going to get to that. But first, let me go ahead and introduce my co-host. Over to my left, I got my boy Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger the Sniper, a.k.a. Drew. Drew got what I need, a.k.a. every Rosner has its thorn. Never going to give Drew up. Get Rick Rolled, Greybeard the Domain Pirate in the building. What's going on, man? How are you?
I am good. I am coming off of 3 weeks of holiday. I have been drowning the last few days trying to get my head above water. But I'm getting there. I'm almost there. And I am back full of piss and vinegar and a lot of energy, you know, in the space, a lot of energy in me. And I'm ready to grab the bull by the horns and tear the ass out of this next quarter.
Go.
And beyond. And all kinds of shit, man. I want to give a shout out to all the haters on X that, you know, think they know how to run Domain Sherpa better than me. I actually genuinely appreciate the criticisms and advice. And I don't even mean that cynically. I actually do. And we are going to take some of that advice and cynicism to heart. And we're going to make some changes. We're going to be improving Domain Sherpa and bringing y'all what you want and more of what you don't want. And anyways, yeah, all kinds of stuff, man. I'm very, you know, revved up about all these new TLDs that are dropping and all kinds of stuff. So I am excited to be here.
You ready to go? Well, look, this is the theme of today's show. The theme of today's show is LFG. Because we've got the guys from Link Freedom Group who are fresh off of the announcement of all of their new, the TLDs in this new TLD round. So let's go ahead and introduce the guys and then we will get into all that good stuff. So first we've got my boy Vaughn Lilly, a.k.a. Lilly Nova, a.k.a. Theo Vaughn, a.k.a. Stevie Ray Vaughn, a.k.a. Vaughn the Road Again, a.k.a. Let's Get It Vaughn, a.k.a. LFG. What's up, dude? How are you?
I'm really great, JT. Absolutely really great. Fantastic to be here, particularly immediately after the announcement. Great to be with you and Andrew. And we're ready to throw down. LFG, brother.
LFG. All right, let's go. We got one more. We got my boy Dan Adamson, a.k.a. Dan the Man, a.k.a. Laces Out, a.k.a. Dan Adams' family son, a.k.a. Daniel's son, a.k.a. Dan Up and Adamson, a.k.a. Danny Boy, the pipes are calling. He puts the man in Manchester. What's up, bruh?
All good, dude. Been a busy summer. It's probably the busiest in name sales that we've had for Indefinite since I started with Yoni. Really surprising, given the liquidity that I thought might exit towards this GTLD round. But yeah, real good so far.
Yeah, well, you guys have been busy, and it's funny because especially, well, for you on your side of the house, it's like, you know, you got obviously everything that's going on with LFG and the new TLDs, but, you know, you manage all that other stuff. So it's like that in itself is its own job. And I know you've also got very, very involved in the new TLD launch. So it's no shortage of stuff to do, man. You guys, this is it. Like, this is like your Super Bowl kind of, you know, you guys have been waiting years for this and it's just the beginning, so it's pretty exciting. So let's dive right into it, man. So what's the total number that you guys of applications that you guys ended up submitting? So how many is it?
Dan, do you want to go? Or do you want me to go?
You go, sir.
316.
That includes the fallbacks or no?
No. Because I'm on this show with the Internet Commerce Association reigning champion of the poker game, I can't reveal all my cards, Andrew. That's okay. You know, come on.
Yeah. Okay.
So all good, makes sense. So I, you know, notably, you guys have had a completely different strategy than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And as most people know, I've been friends with Yoni for a very long time. I consider him to be one of the sharpest people in the industry. He is always thinking completely differently and generally ahead of most of the people. And so I've been watching your strategy, you know, closely and thinking about, you know, and I don't have any real inside information. And so, you know, I've been thinking about why were you guys approaching it the way you've been. You know, we've had conversations. I've had conversations with Yoni. And so, you know, I sort of, let's say, come up with some of my own assumptions or theses about the way he was approaching this and attacking it. And at varying times, I thought it was a great idea or a bad idea. But, you know, now that the cards are starting to get put on the table, people are flipping over their hands, you know, from my perspective, it seems like you guys saw around the corner and everybody else was sort of asleep at the wheel. And what I mean by that is that by being, you know, sort of taking the big dog approach, you know, coming in, dropping the thunder stick and just saying, look, we're coming in heavy. And then once application date was closed, it was like, this is what we've got straight out of the gate. And, you know, we don't really care if there's contentions or not. If you feel like you are, you know, you want this more than we do, come and give us a knock. Let's have a conversation. I'm sure you guys may be doing the same thing to others. And to me, that was the play all along that I think everybody else missed. And I literally don't see anybody else who saw around that corner, at least not thus far. It's not obvious to me that there was anybody else that saw around the corner the way I think you guys did. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it's a very fair assessment. And I think that, so not only is Yoni an extremely smart guy, he's a nice guy as well. So that's worth pointing out.
Yes.
this actually goes back to, if you cast your mind back to...
I wouldn't be friends with him if he wasn't a nice guy.
No, of course not. And I understand that, but not everybody knows Yoni. He's super smart and he's super nice. And one of the things that, you know,
you have to have a not nice person to be friends
with. He's a friendly,
person,
you know, he's a friendly robot. There's unfriendly robots, there's friendly robots. He's a friendly robot.
So the one thing that Yanni's absolutely committed to is 100% follow through, right? That's his mantra. Whatever we say we're going to do, we're going to do. So if you cast your mind back to about a year and a half ago, and this actually comes back to being a single TLD operator with .link, just right before the ICANN meeting in Seattle, Yanni and I and Dan, the team, we've been talking about what we're going to do. And he said, you know, we're going to go big in the next round. I said, how big are we going to go? He's like, pretty big. To at least 200 TLD applications, right? And at that particular point in time, people had been just, you know, trotting out an application. We're doing an application with this company or doing an application with that company. And I said to Yanni, I said, listen, why don't we just, you know, grab the bull by the horns and let's just go for it. So let us announce that we're going to apply for 200 TLDs. And we did that right before the meeting in Seattle. And that just changed everything. Right, in terms of the way that people interacted with us, you know, and what was really good from an insider perspective, we had absolute confidence that we were going to do exactly what we said we were going to do. Some people believed it, some people didn't believe it. And at that point in time, we actually caught people off guard, right? You said asleep at the wheel. That's probably a fair description. You could say, you know, we caught them off guard a little bit. And so when we made that announcement, people were sort of caught thinking, is this real? Is it not? And then we had another conversation internally and said, right, okay, application deadline's coming up. This there are no accidents, right? All this is pre-planned way, way, way in advance. And we said, right, okay, what we'd like to do, our next move on the chessboard is actually to announce the TLDs that we've applied for, but we want to do that immediately after the application window has closed. And so we got everything together. We built a wonderful new website. If you haven't been and had a look, you should go lfg.link. It is absolutely stellar. I think it sort of points to the direction of the company. And we had everything lined up in terms of PR, with pre-booked slots, you know, for blog posts and the like. And we were literally sat fingers crossed. I sat up, because I'm based in Europe, I sat up till 2 a.m. on, it was actually the 13th by that time, but the window closed on the 12th US time, 8, I think it was 8 p.m. And we're like, okay, the window's closed. We verified that the window's closed, right? Because we didn't want to leak. We didn't want to sort of pre-announce in case anybody could go in at the last minute and put an application in. And by doing so, would have introduced even more competition for us.
Yeah.
So we watched the clock tick round. It gets through to 8:30 a.m. on the 13th. We take off the security measures on the website. So now it's publicly available. And we press the button. And we were sat fingers crossed because we wanted to be the first yet again, right? And sure enough, we were first out of the gate. Everybody else, flat-footed, sat in the pajamas, you know, wondering if they should have a soy latte or not. And we are absolutely sprinting out the gate. We're like, you know, Usain Bolt going down the 100-meter line. And it's worked a treat. So we've done it twice now.
Yeah.
I guess the grave danger is that somebody will start to emulate what we're doing. But that in itself, you know, would be a great compliment when people start to try and emulate what we're doing. So that's one thing. The second thing to bear in mind is in terms of the string selections, Yoni has been masterful in the curation of his portfolio. And all of that information that he's gathered over the last 20 plus years has basically been drawn upon to think about the TLDs that we would apply for. And of course, as always, and it's not just in the domain industry, it's life in general, there are leaders and followers. Okay. It just so happens that we're very fortunate that our leader, the guy with a vision, the managerial secret sauce is Yoni.
Yeah.
And then he has a very small, tight-knit team around him that are capable of executing on that vision, you know. And I think that makes us a formidable opponent, if that's the right terminology. You know, we do what we say we're going to do. We do it with conviction.
It's always been my playbook.
It's, you know what, Andrew, and I've said this before, and I don't, you know, not coming on here to pump your tires up, but I like, because you've got an opinion, right? And not everybody likes it, but at least you know where you stand with Andrew Rosner, right?
Yeah.
And so we're delighted with the picks that we've made. Now we're going to enter a different phase because the application window is now closed, and it's really about what comes next. There would appear to be an 8-week window, something of that order of magnitude, between the 12th of August and I think round about mid-October when reveal day comes. Once reveal day arrives, there is a prohibition on communication between applicants. So it's now down to people, courage of the convictions, they've paid the $227,000 in application fees. Do they have additional funding available set aside to participate in the auction? What are they actually going to do with that TLD, right?
Yeah.
And I think what's changed now and what also drove a lot of the selections in that list of 316 TLDs, the world's moved on. You know, 2012 versus 2016, there's a pretty substantial time lapse between the two windows, right? But if you think of the velocity of travel in the way that the world is evolving, it's almost like dog years, right? So if you actually think about 12 to 26, but multiply by 7 in terms of the rate of change, and so we've not just picked strings that are relevant today, we're actually hedging for what will be relevant tomorrow and the day after.
Yeah.
And I think that's a superpower that Yoni has got. And I think he's got that probably more than anybody else that I know in this industry.
Yeah. So let's talk some specifics. What string did you guys apply for that's, let's say, in your top 10 that you're like most excited about, most bullish on, did not get contested? Like, is there any that you thought for sure were going to be contested?
You don't know. Time out. From a timing perspective.
I guess you don't know everybody. Yeah.
We don't. No, because not everybody.
And let's set the table a little bit for the audience, you know, too, because I think it's important. So, you know, because we're talking about different dates. And so when you initially, you said 2012 to 2016, but you meant 2012 to 2026.
Sorry. And, yes, I did.
Yeah. And, but, like, to your point, that's basically 100 years in actual time because of how quickly things have moved and trends and everything else. And it's just, we're in an entirely different epoch, right? So what has happened to date? So the deadline has passed for the applications to be filed. And at this point, the applicants are now voluntarily disclosing the ones that they've applied for. And there are a total of 1,600 plus TLDs that have been applied for. And to date, I think there's about 600 total where the applicants have said, hey, this is what we've applied for, right? I think that's as far as like what's been publicly announced. Now, I think now at this point, from now until reveal day, which is like October 16th or whatever it is, you know, there's this opportunity for applicants to announce, to potentially communicate. I mean, it's a little bit unclear, right? There's still a little bit of trying to figure out, like, hey, what are the rules? To Drew's point, you guys were pretty, you know, had pretty good foresight to have a sense that let's get out ahead of this so that people know that if there's an opportunity to talk, like, let's talk now while we can, because it will get more challenging once reveal happens, and then you'll know the full scope of what the deal is. It's interesting. It's like you get like a, it's initially you're looking through in the room through a keyhole. The keyhole gets bigger as people, you know, say who they are and express what they're up to. And then at some point the doors open, but when the doors open, people have different restrictions. So now we're in this interesting time frame where it's like, all right, you know, it's a little bit of the wild, wild west, which is really, really cool. So currently that's where we stand, you know, and to date we've got, and shout out to the dude, from D3 who put together the name desk, namedesk.app that's got all of the, that they've been tracking. You know, big shout out to them because they're tracking the ones so far that have been announced by the various companies. You guys announced 300 plus. There's a Chinese company that announced 100. There are a few others. You've got, you know, you also have Ray King and Todd have, you know, they've got the, what is it?
Oinkadot.
You know, they're going after a handful. You've got some other people like in and around the industry that are all now like, you know, you got Joel Agnew's brother, you know, they applied for one. You've got Telegram has now announced that they've applied for .gram. So it's, I mean, and what's kind of cool, you know, it's funny, the domain space, we're on the forefront of a lot of things, but the space kind of at times plods along like it's just business as usual. And then you have these waves where like all this kind of crazy stuff happens, and we're now in one of those waves where it's like, you know, as it all continues to evolve, and it's pretty exciting, interesting time. So anyway, So just to kind of level set for everybody where we are right now in the process, and for what it's worth, we did have, you know, Vaughn was on the show. We had the Juice the Fruit episode, which was back in, back in April, which, you know, be interesting for anybody who wants to go back and kind of see, you know, you can see how this thing is moving as it's going. Dan was on the show also back in May on a different show, just kind of, you know, hanging out with us. But, you know, it's moving fast. And now that's where we are, and that's where you guys are. So not all the, so you don't know which ones are fully contested yet. Go ahead.
No. And I was going to say, JT, so something else that's probably worth noting is that the 1600 number was published by ICANN a couple of days ago, right? They said they received 1,600 applications. It's yet to be determined if everybody makes the payment deadline.
Okay.
Right? So you have to, in order for that application to stick, you've got to get the money in, okay? And
when is that payment deadline?
It has to be paid 7 days. It's been extended,
from today, right?
Well, it's from the date of invoice. And my understanding is the last invoice went out at a minute to midnight on the 13th.
Okay.
Okay. And
so today.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the show's going to drop on the 20th. So this, you know, we're recording on Wednesday. Show will drop tomorrow on Thursday. So then when this comes out, it'll basically be the end of that payment deadline.
Yeah. So of those 1,600 applications, I think 500, Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't have replacement strings. So I think it's fair to say that a large portion of those applications would be brand related. It's not inconceivable that a brand wouldn't apply and include a replacement, but probably unlikely. So then you distill it down to maybe 1,100 applications.
Yeah,
we don't know the level of contention. And in actual fact, I think there's going to be a high degree of contention, and I think there's going to be a low concentration of applicants. In other words, a smaller number of applicants that have applied for a larger number of strings. And that's where this then becomes very interesting over the next however long before reveal day, is what comes next, because Ray had got his early warning report and he was, you know, pre the close of the window, you know, trying to encourage people to compare lists. We chose not to get involved in that. We went a different route. And so ours is not an early warning report per se. Ours is an on-time status update. That's why we went on the 13th and said, this is what we've applied for.
Yeah.
And basically this comes back to the analogy of, you know, I live in Malta, a lot of maritime activity. The big boats in the harbor sound the horn when they're coming out of Grand Harbor, and that alerts the little guys to be more vigilant so they don't get run over by a big cruise ship.
Yeah.
And that's what we wanted to do. So you've got a situation there where here we go, right? you've got somebody who's maybe applied for two or three strings, and we've had, I can't tell you how many inbound inquiries we've had since we've announced, people that want to invest, people that want to talk to us where they may be in contention, people who just want to follow along, people that want to buy names. So it's had the desired effect because we wanted to do a couple of things. We wanted to gauge sentiment in the market, you know, positive and negative, and identify people that may be interested in talking to us, whether that be, you know, other applicants and or potential business partners who've either applied for a string. So somebody like Telegram, for example. So we are in contention with Telegram on .gram. But then there may be other people who wake up today and think, oh God, I actually should have done something about that and they didn't. Well, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the end of the road, right? Because there are people like us and others who will apply for, you know, significant number of strings. There are opportunities, and that's exactly why we did what we did.
Yeah,
and we don't believe in following along. We believe we're agents for change. We want to do things a bit differently, and I think this is just another great example of us, you know, driving our business forward. And it's actually a nod to the ethos of the company. So there's no surprise. Linked Freedom Group is an acronym that can be used at the dinner table with grandma, but it sort of references forward velocity, right?
Yeah,
and that's where we're at. It's forward velocity.
So I thought, you know, it was interesting that thus far, you know, obviously it's not all the cards aren't out yet, but thus far, you guys are the only applicant for .BTC, I find shocking. And yet there's three applicants thus far for .BIT. That one was really shocking to me.
I think there are three applicants for .Factory as well, correct?
That was the one I was going to mention that I'm actually surprised. Now, granted, again, this goes back to the fact that not everybody has announced who is who and what's what, right? So I think I'd be shocked if there's not another. If not, then it'll be the kind of thing where everyone else was scared.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, this is going to be, so many people are going to apply for this that I'm not even going to bother.
Right. If you think about the notable absentees in terms of revealing their hand, as it were,
yeah,
Identity Digital haven't.
Sure. And so this is why I was trying to crunch the numbers, right? You talked about 1,600 applications. You know, I think you're spot on. The 500 that don't have a backup string, you can say probably the vast majority of those, if not all, are likely brand strings. So eliminate those. You're down to 1,100. 600 have been revealed so far of those. I think, how many are in catastrophe? 300?
Oh, there's, so there are 57. So far, 57 contested.
And that's it? Okay. And, you know, that, let's say, leaves 500. You know, you guys applied for 314.
16.
I imagine Identity Digital has got to be in the six figures of applications as well. I can't imagine that they didn't, you know, go for at least a few hundred. And so, you know, there's probably a very large chunk of that remaining 500, if not half or more. And, you know,
applications don't actually tell you whether they are in contention or not at this stage, and you'll only know that at reveal day, right?
Then it's a question of, you know, of the remaining 500, how much are in contention? You know, if you say it's 5% so far, and that tracks across the rest of the portfolio, although it probably will be higher because, you know, you probably have some of the smart money that still hasn't revealed, and so those guys will have applied for probably some of the strings that you guys applied for and some of the strings that others have already announced. So, you know, it's probably closer to 10% of contention, if not higher. So, you know, there's probably only another 200 strings.
I think the actual unique string count is lower than people think.
Yeah.
And I think that the actual number of applicants is lower than people thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Right?
I think
both numbers are they're certainly lower than my expectations.
Yeah.
I mean, I expected double the number of applicants, I expected double the number of applications, double the number of strings from the last time. I think we ended up with 1,100 the last time, or 1,200.
Yeah, something of that nature.
And, you know, I thought, okay, we're probably going to get a cool 2,000 strings. And I expected a much larger number of applicants, but doesn't appear that that's the case.
Journey to the West applicant, though, has got a lot of unique ones that I don't think they contested.
Yep. Journey to the West is the Chinese applicant that has a bunch of Chinese character TLDs. Like, a bunch of those are interesting.
And a lot of long tail, like,
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Maybe miss the point stuff, yeah, but.
Yeah, straight up, like, you know, lost in translation on some of this. Like, dot what's new, I give it officially, so far, of what's been launched, that's my official loser string. You know, I initially, the last round, I initially thought Dot Horse was the loser, but it actually grew on me, and Dot Horse is actually one of my favorites, because it's just, like, so ridiculous that it's amazing.
Well, behind a closed door, Drew, we're a little disappointed, because we were hoping to be the worst. We were hoping to have the worst string. And I think we've been outdone, unwittingly so, by people who think that they've come up with a great idea. Because we thought it is what it is, which is five different words. It is what it is. We were like, perfect. The first TLD to consist of five words. Wonderful. Will be talked about 10 years now, 20 years from now, in the same way that Dot Horse was talked about. But I'm not sure that's true. I think that'll turn out to be a bit of a winner.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so yeah, so 2012, there were 1,930 total applications representing 1,409 unique strings, which resulted in just over 1,200 new gTLDs. So that was ultimately, so this was actually less as of now. You know, we'll see what it looks like, but it's that clearly, I think, when you get to contention and everything else, to your point, I think you're going to end up with maybe half that, right? Maybe, you know, somewhere in the 600, 700, 800 new strings, maybe when it's all said and done, which is, you know, interesting for sure. It'll be, you know, curious, like you said, Identity Digital, I think Unstoppable. There are a handful of folks that we've expected, you know, will have some strings that, you know, I don't know if D3 has announced theirs, you know, and it is, by the way, I did shout out D3 and Inder, who's the guy, the VP of product from D3, who's the one who released.
I think Suffix Domains is Paul Stahora and Fred, isn't it?
Oh,
Suffix
okay.
Domains is Paul Stahora,
so that's
for sure.
Suffix Domains. Yeah. Well, yeah. And I don't know how much, you know, and it's funny, in full disclosure, right? We're invested in D3. And, you know, I don't know what the differentiation there is as far as, like, you know, are those the only strings that they've applied for? Is it, you know, are those just Paul's kind of thing, you know? So, we don't know either. I mean, they may end up on the show to talk about it. You know, we had Matt Overman from Identity Digital on the show a few weeks ago as well. It's interesting as information becomes available, and you guys are right there throwing elbows and you know, sounding the horn on the way into the harbor, baby. I love it. Let's go. Let's fucking go.
LFG. No, really. And I think it's going to get really interesting now in terms of contention resolution as well. You know, because game theories at play, some of these people haven't revealed their hands, you know. And I also think, I actually think it's more difficult for the likes of Identity Digital. So an existing portfolio operator, at what point do the applications, you know, stop becoming additive? And at what point do they start having a dilutionary effect on their existing business?
Sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that makes it more difficult for people like them. So that's not to throw shade on them whatsoever. For us, it's easy. We can only go one way. We can only go up because we've only got one string. So,
yeah,
you know, but if you've already got a portfolio and there are several portfolio, you know, operators out there, I should imagine that's a bit of a conundrum. In the same way that if there is a third round or a next round, it'll be a conundrum for us.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
No, has XYZ registry? Did Ngari? They haven't published anything. Do you know where they have they even said that or not? They were going to go after new.
I would imagine there'll be an applicant.
Yeah, because they were pretty. They were probably the most aggressive, other than Identity Digital, in acquiring, you know, deadbeat strings in the last round.
Yeah. And then you've got Endpoint, which is a fairly new entrant. I know the Oinka Dot we've talked about. You know, we've got Namespace.
Not mentioned Radix.
internet naming. Yeah, the
Radix is a whole other bailiwick. I imagine they'll hold their cards to the chest right to the last minute.
GML, they'll apply.
Also, yeah. But again, I mean, look, we're only talking about
a handful of people, right?
Yeah, because
there's a maximum of 500,
and there's got to be at least 10 which are going to be contested. At least 50 which are going to be contested. 10% is what I meant. And so, and probably it's even higher than that. We're talking only another 200-300 strings, most likely, unique strings from the remaining folks. And, you know, like I said, I mean, Identity Digital, I hear what you're saying, Vaughn, but I imagine they probably went, you know.
Oh, no, for sure. I'm sure they've done a decent chunk of applications. No worries about that. What I'm saying is, it probably means they have to be a little more careful in their selection process, such that any applications they put in don't have a cannibalistic effect on their existing revenue.
For sure. Yeah.
I think it'd be interesting to see as well after our announcement if everybody actually pays for their applications.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting note, because some folks that would have been contested may just not pay.
Maybe.
Well, and that's where I think you guys coming out and kind of planting the flag that you did makes a lot of sense, because it will probably shake loose a few people that would be contending with you because they thought, you know what, it's just not going to be worth it. It's one thing if we could get this for $227,000. It's another thing if that price gets much higher by dealing with the contention situation. So, you know, by coming out, I think it's ingenious the way that you guys came out and announced. Yeah. I think that's, to me, the new site looks fantastic. I think it strategically makes a ton of sense. I think somebody had to do it, and I think you guys definitely, you know, are the right people to come out doing what you did. So it'll be very, very interesting to see how it shakes out. So let's talk next steps. So there'll be this activity that's going to take place. More people may reveal, may not. People will reach out. Some people may reach out to you right without revealing and say, hey, you know, we're not going to publicly say that these are the ones we're going to, you know, that we're going to be applying for, but we see that they're on your list, so let's talk about it. The other thing is, what makes those conversations a little tricky is that you don't know if then there's a third or a fourth or a fifth applicant for the same string. So, sure, you guys may coordinate something with a potential other applicant that has a contended string, but then you've got two more players that step into the room. You know, what's funny is in the first round, you had Microsoft and Google.
This is like the greatest
Amazon.
Game ever.
Well, that's what I love about it's game theory, it's strategy. It's like, you know, you're talking about like there's a really fun, cool thing. For us, it's great to be able to sit here like the guys in the Muppets in the rafters and say, that string sucks. That one's great. Ooh, look, I love what y'all did. Can't wait to see what they do.
Before I forget though, you got to tell me why is .fart, why do you apply for .fart number one? And then why is .fart even contested? Like, what is with all these people who want .fart? I think there's three applicants for .fart.
I think it's a great string. and I think this was in part, so without, you know, revealing too much of the inside thinking, I think Yoni wanted to see his dream play out with clown penis .fart.
I thought too you had some, you know, kind of zeitgeist, you know, momentum with Fartcoin, you know, that kind of thing as well, right? I think there's, you know, where you have some of these coins and meme coins that were somewhat successful.
I think that's a really good point, JT. So if anybody from Fartcoin is listening to the podcast, give us a shout.
Yeah, I'll let you know, so for sure. I think that, you know, and it's without obviously going into too much of the secret sauce for you all as you're trying to determine, you know, what would make sense for, you know, application purposes and everything. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, popular words, things that capture any kind of momentum, you know, we talk about it a lot with our own business when we're selling domains and buying domains. You know, you're trying to, you know, it's trends and it's also about momentum, right? And for you all, it's like, okay, where are you going to get the momentum of registrants, people that are going to want to register domains, that they're going to want to use them tied to their digital identity, and ultimately, you know, create opportunity for you all as the registry operator to sell domain names, you know, so.
But makes sense. This actually speaks, though, JT, just to you know, extrapolate that out a little further in terms of changing times, right? So the relevance of a word in 2012 is potentially very different today in 2026. And if you think about GOAT, right? So if you go back, if we could go back down the, you know, the time tunnel to 2012, and you said to somebody on the street, what is a GOAT? It's, you know, it's a furry beast with four legs that gets chased across the hill by a shepherd. Mm-hmm. And then today, it's either, you know, Haaland, Messi, Ronaldo, right? The greatest of all time. It's just a very, yeah. It's the same word, but it just lands differently today.
Sure. Yeah, no, look, it's funny, you know, because GOAT came up, I remember LL Cool J, and like, you know, when it, in, you know, as started to be introduced as a positive term, meaning the greatest of all time, I remember thinking that was ridiculous. You know, when people were like the GOAT, I mean, even as it first started to take, it still took time, you know, because the first time, you know, so, and to your point, you know, yeah, nomenclature, you know, words, meanings, trends, popular culture, there's so many different things that all play. So casting a wide net, it plays to the idea that casting a wide net makes a lot of sense, right? Because ultimately, yeah. You know, and even when you look at the numbers of the amount of, like, you know, the world population, how many people are online, like, you know, what is the real opportunity, you know, and you know, for use and adoption. And
well, I think, newsflash, all of us on here are of a certain age or above, right? We absolutely mustn't forget that the next generation of true internet users are the same age as your kids, JT.
Yeah.
And they use a different... They use a different, it's effectively a different language, right?
Yeah, for sure.
They sure do.
So we're catering, we're actually catering to the next generation.
Yeah.
And that's something that we shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't just gloss over that. Things are changing.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it, and I think the pace of change is much faster than it was even a decade ago. I think that's clear. But it took, you know, it really took a decade for this last round of TLDs, number one, to even actually get into the market, many of them, and number two, to really catch on. I mean, I think XYZ, because it was uncontested and it, you know, it just was able to get very clean and very quickly into the market. Daniel was able to very intelligently capitalize on that. He had a phenomenal, one of the only guys that actually did real marketing. And so he was able to, like, get into the market. He had a very clear plan. He executed brilliantly. Now, I don't necessarily agree with all the tactics and whatever, but you can't, you know, the numbers speak for themselves. So he did an amazing job. But other than XYZ, I can't think of a stream that really hit stride until 2020. Really. Like, I think .live did pretty well. .bet did okay, but not really, didn't really start taking off until, you know, sports betting laws changed in the United States. Nothing really comes to mind for me from the last round of, like, oh, these guys really right out of the gate started doing well. So it took a decade for the last round to really hit the street, so to speak, to get mind share in the public and for people to start registering those domain names.
Yeah, and I think it's what I call, Andrew, the Clubhouse effect.
Yeah.
So if you go back in time, Clubhouse was, you know, it was a hot property, as it were. Yeah. And then everybody started registering .clubs, right? Because it was
Clubhouse. And even .club. So .club, right out of the gate, right alongside Nagari, it was basically those two. I apologize, because I forgot .club. But they had, you know, full dedicated marketing team. They were doing very creative marketing. They were hosting events. They were really trying to buy mindshare and get .club registrations, and they did a decent job, meaning in terms of actually getting material registrations. But it didn't really take off until, to your point, Clubhouse took off at the beginning of COVID, which, again, 2020. Right, so it really wasn't until 2020 that most of these things actually hit stride. Most of them still haven't.
Well, if you go to .live, that .live really got going during COVID.
Yep.
And that was really so people could be live.
Yeah.
Because you weren't allowed out. So if you wanted a bit of entertainment at home, you go to a .live site. You know, because it's just a different use case. And I think that's what's going to happen is that some of these TLDs will garner adoption because of trends.
Yeah.
Right? So social trends. And others will garner adoption because they are paired with a platform. Let's say, you know, Gram with Telegram. And it'd be interesting to see whether or not Instagram have applied for .gram.
Yeah.
Because that would be like the heavyweight championship of the world, wouldn't it? That would be like Instagram and Telegram duking it out over .gram. That'd be quite an interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Interesting to watch. And, you know, this is going to get very, very, very interesting. And I think what's different this time round versus last time round is there is no private contention resolution. So this is the dynamic of the game has changed again.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to make it really, really, really interesting. I'm very optimistic, actually, that this time round, that the applicants that are coming in on this round, I think will try a bit harder than some of the applicants from the last round. They almost have to, you know, in terms of making sure they can recover their 227 application.
Yeah.
And if they pay in the auction, there will be a compelling need to drive a return on investment.
Yeah.
And I think the awareness, and I do think that the...
Well, and then they're going to, you know, even once they got it, I mean, now you got to go buy some shelf space. And that shelf space costs a lot more today than it did in 2014, right? When you decided, okay, time to go to market.
Right. But then that's another consideration. So shelf space is more expensive, but then
also it's
more
also
shelves.
More, yeah.
Right. There's more shelves. And
are there really? I mean, you know, like it's really, you know, it's really the Pareto principle, right? It's like, you know, I don't know. The top five registrars represent 95% of all the domain registrars.
I have a funny feeling that if Telegram prevailed in their application for .gram, everybody will take .gram, right? In terms of registrars, they'll put it on the storefront because they'll want to cash in on the opportunity. Whereas,
if I actually disagree, so if Telegram is the prevailing, let's say, registrant of .gram, then or operator, why do they need?
They don't
have their own registrar partners. They'll probably have their own registrar, or they'll partner with a name cheap or somebody, and then they'll
already partnered with UD, right?
Yeah. So there's really no. They don't need a domain registration path. Their registration path. I mean, they've already laid out the plan, right? So they, you know, their users are already their domain registration.
Yeah, but I think to Vaughn's point, his point is that to the extent that you've got winners, you know, then registrars will ultimately follow the money, right? They're going to go, you know, they're going.
Oh, they're coin operated. They're coin operated. They're basically serving a need for demand that's in the market, latent demand. So my point was that. JT's said it better than I can. If they prevail in the application and people can go and register a .gram and pair it with their Telegram account, then that opens up a new opportunity for registrars. Now, if they prevail in the application and say, well, we have a sweetheart deal with a particular registrar and we're going to fully and seamlessly integrate the domain registration from within the platform itself, then that sort of diminishes the opportunity for other people.
Yeah.
You know, and they keep the revenue to themselves. And in large part, why when we talk about Link Freedom Group, you know, we've said aspirationally, it's not just a case of being a registry operator, mm-hmm. right? We would definitely like to be an RSP, and we are an ICANN accredited registrar. And the reason for that, I think they call it vertical integration, is actually for us to leverage the opportunity, which we've fought so hard to get with .link, and other people, you know, have followed along behind. But the problem is there are too many people, you know, in the supply chain that are not adding enough value. And as a consequence, you get this sort of stagnation. There is no real expansion of the market until outside forces like artificial intelligence start to drive demand for .ai.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know?
No, and I think, yep.
And we've got an application in for .tree.
I love that, actually.
You like it?
Yeah, I like .tree a lot.
It would be really great if Alex Zakaria from Linktree called up and said, hey, listen, you know, we'd like to work with you, and, you know, if we prevail in that application, and use .tree instead of .ee, which is a country code. And we've talked about the reliance on country code domains, and we've seen what's happening with Montenegro. And all of a sudden, this changes the dynamic. And I think what makes us subtly different from everybody else is that we've been heading down this route for the last 3, 4, 5 years. And that, in part, fueled, you know, it's the fusion of art and science, right? So the art is creating the opportunity, and the science is the name pick, that the managerial secret sauce that Yoni brings to the table and say, right, okay, this is what I see. This is the opportunity. Now go and execute on that and make something of it.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you make a good point, and, you know, I like the phrase that you said before about Drew, where you said not to pump your tires, but, you know, I think that's where for Yoni, it's, you know, to have the team that he has, to have you guys, right, to be able to pull off what you guys are working on doing, like, you need the right people, you know, and I think you guys have that kind of team, so also not to pump your tires too much, you know what I'm saying, but I think that's, but even credit to, like, you know, you mentioned Nagari, you know, Ambrose, like, he's got people who, you know, working with him and on his team that really helped, you know, kind of ramp up and do what they do. And there were a lot of different sort of tricks and not tricks, but tactics that they use to kind of build adoption. When you look at XYZ's got 12 million domains registered, and, you know, and you look at who the winners were the first time around, you know, and you got .top with 11 million and shop with 7. And, you know, regardless of timing, Drew had mentioned, you know, 2020 and after for, you know, some of the. And,
I'm not sure, like, he's called .top a winner, though, because it was.
No, it was
an account stuffing.
Well, this was going to be my
China.
Point. This was going to be my point, was that, but to get to even those kind of numbers, like, you know, every path is different, right? Each one of these GTLDs, whether it's stuffing at the registrar, whether it's .club being super hyper-focused, you know, one TLD with their group that was also a very good, you know, and then and Colin is now, you know, he's applied for .factory this time around, which is a very interesting kind of, you know.
But given that we're on Sherpa, and given that the audience that listens to the show, I think this is the first time that registry land and brokerage land are truly about to collide, right? In terms of how you leverage a TLD. In other words, it's almost like selling a high value name.
100%. Well, this is actually a great point. We talked about this at 227,000, right? Which, from an application standpoint, now obviously in the resale, you know, in the aftermarket of, you know, the string aftermarket, the price goes up. But at 250K, I mean, you're talking about
not necessarily. Some people probably would sell at a loss just to cut their losses.
No, oh, but for I sure, mean, I think. But yeah, but I'm talking about more about the bigger opportunity for, like, let's say, like, for LFG, for example, right? You guys apply for all the strings that you have. There are definitely going to be, now, even if Telegram hadn't applied themselves, right? Then, you know, there are opportunities for, and you see it, and it's great that they came out and said it, because they really are kind of just preaching now what you guys have been saying. And
correct, you know, to a much larger audience.
Right, which is saying, hey, this is the business model, right? This is why I actually thought first time around, when a lot of those brand applications were wasted time, wasted money, because they didn't really have a plan on how they were going to leverage, like, you know, some of the ones that were super random for different things, that's just, you don't have a user base that needs their own domain name, right? And and I could go back into some of those examples, but folks that were selling, like, you know, washing machines and shit, like .kenmore or whatever, I don't know if those were, like, but I'm saying, like, you know, you had, like, literally, like, you know, just because you bought a microwave, you don't necessarily need a domain, maybe, aside from like the Internet of Things. But, you know, but Telegram is a perfect example. Instagram, .gram is a great one. And it's great that it became public now, because it's really,
absolutely,
you know, because it does show you that it's like, if you've got a user base that needs digital autonomy and control.
Well, you know, so Telegram, Instagram, MoneyGram, they've got millions. It's a ready-made audience.
Yeah, 100%.
Right. So that's what I'm talking about, where registry meets brokerage in a way.
100%. I totally, Dan.
You know, I'm with Drew. You know, there will be some people that'll, you know, sort of disappear and lick the wounds, not because it's not possible, but they don't have a plan.
Yeah.
And if you haven't got a plan, you know what usually happens. You either get very lucky, the guy that walks into the gas station and buys the winning Powerball ticket, right? Or he has to, you know, go and sleep in a doorway.
Yeah.
Dan.
For brands to get the opportunity now, perhaps to rebrand with a clean namespace available, could be interesting to.
Well, I was going to say this as well, right? You've got some like great generic terms that you guys have applied for, right? So now you've got companies that, hey, if they decided to whether or not they're currently using something that's like right on the nose, or maybe something that's adjacent, or something where a rebrand kind of makes sense, instead of rebranding to a new .com, you could literally rebrand to a new
whole namespace.
You know what I mean? In a way that makes a lot more sense, because the use cases have now become more evident. They're more visible. They're more understandable. And I think, again, I don't think that it could have been better timing for Telegram to come out and push out this idea that, hey, having your own GTLD when you have millions of users that could immediately, like, you know, they're, what's funny though, is they pushed out their idea and they don't own the TLD yet. You know, it's in contention. You guys are like, oh, that's, you know, that's great. Keep talking about how important this might be for you and how valuable this idea is.
Well, so here's a little Easter egg for you. We only acquired LFG.link days before we went live. Imagine if we'd have gone live and then went back into the aftermarket to try and buy it.
Yeah.
You know,
well, obviously on the link, you guys can just, you know, someone else has LFG.link, like, not anymore. You Spartan kicked them down the hole, you know what I'm saying?
No, we can't do that. We paid for it, but you can't do that because we're a contracted party.
And, yeah, I'm just playing.
But the point is, and I'm with you, you know, if you pre-announce what you're going to do, but you're not sure of being a winner, the price has just gone up.
Price of a brick going up. We say it all the time. You know, that's a Wire reference. But the but go ahead.
But on that, I've got another question for you about the $227,000. So this is almost a question back to you guys. How many names do you sell that are more than $227,000 each?
Sure.
What? I mean,
our question would be, how many names do we sell that are there less
under
than
it? Under.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I would say. We sell probably, I'm going to say 150 names a year that are above $227,000 a year.
Right. Because one of the questions that I get asked is Yoni lost his mind applying for this many TLDs? And I suspect the answer to that is no, given that metric.
Have you guys sold any of the com equivalents to the names that we've applied for?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, we'd have to look see.
The .com equivalent of your extensions?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have all your extensions in front of me offhand, but I imagine yes.
For example, Connect.com sold for what, $10 million?
12.
12? So do you think
I think Connect is a banger. API was you guys, right?
Yeah.
I think .API, I told JT this before you guys even announced that you had it. I think .API is going to be one of the most valuable TLDs in this round. I think that everything, if we all think that the future of, internet navigation and traffic and the way we are utilizing information on and commerce on the internet locally through some kind of agent, through some kind of chatbot, through some kind of AI interface, if some AI is disintermediating the internet from the user, then it all happens through APIs. So I think that every company that provides an API service will likely want to have a .API domain name to make it very easy for the agents to identify where their API lives, what it does, making it, you know, very semantically meaningful. So I think you're going to have generic APIs. I think you're going to have branded APIs. I think you're going to have all sorts of, you know, open source APIs. I think it's my personal pick for, you know, absolute winner.
So yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, JT. Yeah. So to Dan's point, and this is where I think it makes a ton of sense, because, you know, if you look at these as if they are almost like, you know, domain name, like premium domain name equivalents, right? So the names that you've, and then Drew and I were talking about this too, when we were looking over your list the other day, I was like, I'm surprised so many of these were not applied for in the past, because if you look at, if you took their .com equivalent, right? These domain, they're all $1 million digital assets, right? Just,
yeah.
So, and then even,
I mean,
even
DNA, like, is that you guys?
Yeah, DNA is on their list, it, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, we're selling DNA.com right now.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got, you know, Quantum, you've got Future, you've got, I mean, Brand, Planet, Cart, like, I mean, crap.
Yeah, we sold,
like,
Future.com, we sold, you know, I can't say the price, but a lot of money.
I mean,
we so sold that one. Future.com, we sold to A16Z.
Do you know what's a real laugh? A bit of a giggle. Everybody's been pushing, apply for your .brand, apply for your .brand, apply for your .brand. We'll write your application for a couple of $100,000. Nobody ever bothered to apply for .brand in the last round.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty wild. And you know what? What's wild is that even .ai...
Although, you know, if you think about, like, in terms of actual company names, there's a lot of companies that are called something brands, plural. There's a lot.
So Drew, if you go back to your DNA.com, what is it worth to sell .dna alongside DNA.com?
I mean, to me, it makes a hell of a lot of sense.
The big thing is also making the registry piece accessible too, so that it's like, you know, and put those serve. And that's where I think you guys also have a really, you know, now having done this, having the .link sandbox to really work in, you know, to be able to create the tools to make it so that anybody buying a .dot, you know, is ultimately going to get the service and support to be able to then actually utilize it, right? Because it's one thing to say, oh, cool. You know, because that was a big challenge, I think, back, and I remember this back in the first time, you know, back in 2012, was that you had brands that were, you know, applying and winning, and then they're like, now what, right? And it was like, it wasn't exactly plug and play. It's like, oh, hey, now what? We have to stand up an engineering team that understands how to manage domain names, because, you know, and figure out how to then integrate them into our services and allow our customers to be able to
Dot Mind, is that yours?
So, Dot Mind.
Dot what, Drew?
Dot Mind. Mind, like brain.
So while you, really quick, the while you look at that, the
yes,
even talking, yes.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's not ours. We've applied for it.
So far you're uncontested, though. So far,
It would appear to be that way.
Yeah. So again,
that's
so each
should,
one of these
we should talk about.
So each one of these, as a, like I said, if you were looking at like the .com equivalent, they're all $1 million. You know, $1 million plus. Even the .ai equivalent, considering how high AIs have climbed, you know, we're seeing .ai domains selling for millions of dollars. So it's like, you know, the fact that these strings, from at least from just an application standpoint, now granted, there are ongoing costs, there are carrying costs, if you will, you know, and administrative stuff. And, you know, there's, so it's not just simple as that. But, you know, it definitely makes it very, very interesting when you talk about the combining and the synergy now of the registry piece, the brokerage piece, and the idea of like these strings are a lot more plug and play and useful to companies and end users than they ever have been, which makes this whole round very, very interesting. And, you know, even one of the ones you have is VVV, which, you know, so one of the first times I got to
I used to own VVV.com.
And I was running NameJet when you listed it for auction.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It actually changed some of how we ran some of the stuff we did on NameJet, because before it, like that auction, we still had the $5 increments or whatever, or it went up as high as maybe like $50. So that one went over the 100K mark, and every bid was like $20 more.
Yeah, and there's 5 minutes waiting for the next $5 increment.
And it was and we actually had to change.
I was like, I'm going to fucking kill you. I was like, you guys need to change these bid increments. You're killing me.
Oh, and it was. It was like, I think maybe it was like $100 at that point. But you're talking about
$100. It wasn't $100. It was literally.
I think it maxed out back then. But the point is like even then that name sold for 150K or whatever it was over 10 years ago. And it's like.
It just got offered to me this morning by a Chinese broker, actually, for $532,000. Literally this morning, as a matter of fact.
Well, that's the thing. So buy the .com.
Double the application fee, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's pretty wild. So it's interesting. It's good. It's cool. So.
But I like the idea of pairing these with some of the premium.coms. And it's like, what is that worth? I mean, that's like an entirely new asset class that is very interesting. Very, very, very interesting for a business that says, this is my now, this is my brand. And I've got this whole namespace that I can work with attached to it. That supports community, that supports product and service development, and it's a very interesting offering, I think. That apparently nobody else thought about.
Unlaunched, they're worth a lot of money, I think.
What's that?
Unlaunched, they're worth a lot of money.
Unlaunched, worth way more money, but even some of these legacy ones, I think it's still a.
That's an interesting thing too, because then we don't have that much time. We'll have to save this for the next episode. But the with you guys, but once you get to October's reveal day, then it's okay. Settle the contention sets. Now you guys are going to own hundreds of strings. Then there's the whole point of okay, now what? Right? Like how many are launched at a retail level? How many are this brand play or this end user play where it's like, hey. Might be worth talking to who owns the .com and not even launching. Cause once the unlaunched aspect is very, very interesting because once you have, we ran .wegos for a little bit. We bought it from Frank when he, we didn't do it much with it because we were like, oh, we want to have a TLD. We bought one. And then we're like, all right, now what?
Yeah. We didn't have a plan. We bought it. Cause I was like, oh, I kind of want to own a piece of the root. And then suddenly I'm paying, I'm paying fees to my registry operator, to my back-end provider. I'm paying fees to ICANN. I'm just paying fees out the nose without any plan.
Basically break even, but without plan.
But still.
One of the challenges we had, though, was that their legacy pricing was really intended for brand protection, right? So we had a bunch of registrations at a pretty high price, and there were different challenges for us, foreign language and some other things. But, I still dig it because we don't play no juegos, But, the one challenge that we kind of realized once we got it, we're like, oh, it's great. It has registrations. But that wasn't necessarily a good thing, because then NFTs blew up and some other stuff. And like a lot of the names that were, there were a handful, a lot of the stuff that was registered were a lot of the good stuff that we could have maybe premium priced or just, packaged a little differently. And, it actually hamstrung us a little bit. And our bigger thing was just not having a plan. We kind of did it to do it. It was fine. We got, we sold it to Identity Digital. Shout out to them. I mean, it worked out. The numbers and the mechanics, all good. But, it had hair on it, because we bought it with, that it was already active. So had it not been, that would have probably given us a little bit more opportunity right out the gate. So I think that creates a whole other thing when you guys are thinking about launch. That's, again, it's probably a longer conversation and one that we don't need to dive into right now because there'll be more time later on as things kind of start to take shape. But I think that's a very interesting sort of concept as well. So
we were on the opposite side of that particular equation. So when we took over .link, on the $7 wholesale, there were some names that had been sold that shouldn't have been sold for $7, right?
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that we will be doing on a new clean namespace, and we spent an awful lot of time on this, Yoni has spent, an inordinate amount of time on it, is figuring out the right premium strategy for each string.
Oh, yeah. Well, that I think is a no-brainer. I mean, and that goes back even to Identity Digital and because, I think Matt Overman and the team there, they were very, I thought that was one area where they were ahead of the curve with the first group and being obviously, you know, they also had a really good plan and kind of really saw, you know, ahead of, they were ahead of the curve on contention and how that was all resolved and, you know, private auction, that kind of stuff. And that was very useful for them. And then, you know, cause obviously that was donuts. And then, you know, their premium strategy was pretty, you know, was well sort of thought. In fact, actually Drew was involved in pricing premiums for them before they went live. I mean, that was part of like, you know, their whole thing was very strategic on the premium pricing. But that's a double-edged sword too, because it's like, okay, you premium price a lot of the good names. Cool. Well, then, you know, but then is it, you know, not pre, you know, what's your renewal strategy? I mean, there's so much that goes into each one of these things. Yeah.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
And I think there's one point, JT, I know we're getting towards the end of the show, but one point that's definitely worth making. We do appreciate all of the work that other people did before we got here. So you've talked about Identity Digital. You've talked about, you know, Daniel with XYZ. You know, those guys should be given, you know, the sort of the positive accolade for breaking ground. You know, it's easy for folks like us to come along after the fact or on the next wave and you know, but it would be wrong of us to say, oh, we you know, this is all new. We've looked at what other people have done and it, you know, trying to refine it and make it better. But there is definitely a nod to the folks that were here before us.
Oh, and I think that's great. I think it's great for you to say that. And now you guys are obviously, you know, doing your thing at an extremely high level, and it's all part of the thing. And yeah, I mean, I was at NetSol. You know, I was part of the team involved in the XYZ promotion, you know, that helped get them off the ground. And you know, so I've got a lot of history there on all those sides. And yeah, I mean, sometimes you got to push the envelope. You know,
like, oh, it looks like Namecheap just dropped their list they applied for.
Okay. Did they have, what, 10, 15 strings?
40.
Like 40. 40. All right.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. That didn't. And looks like Andrew.
Bunch that are going to contest with you guys. Andrew Alamon just dropped a chart.
Yeah. And I was going to say, big shout out to Andrew. He's doing a really great job of tracking and keeping up, you know, announcing all. I mean, well, go ahead.
I see your tweet theater as well live during the show.
What's that?
I see your tweet live during the show as well, 37 minutes ago.
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? You see opportunity. You got to, you know what I mean? What are you doing? You sleeping or are you going to go out and grab the tiger by the tail?
You got Drew all hyped up, like right in the beginning. You had him all like being like, yo, I got to get involved.
That's an interesting one, because as an established registrar, that puts them in a slightly different bucket over and above, you know, they're a different animal to name.com, right? In just in terms of scale and reach. And now all of a sudden, you know, applying for TLDs, they've obviously got their own distribution mechanisms. This is going to get real interesting.
It's going to get really super interesting. Like I said, this is the most interesting game in the world right now, you know, my opinion. You know, unless you're in the missile business and you're playing, you know, you're playing, you know, real game theory. It's super fascinating, and there's so many different moving parts and different players and different types of players. And it's very interesting. Very interesting how this is going to play out.
Yeah, and I'm just doing a quick.
I'm surprised.
It seems to me, though, like people are realizing that you guys probably took the right tact here and are slowly going to start following along.
I'm surprised there's not more overlap with Namecheap. They've gone for a lot of unique things.
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to get to the number for you here.
What surprises me the most is how many people are going for like really, really long tail stuff. After watching success rates and registration rates on the last round, I you know, that surprises me. Like I can see why you know, an Identity Digital might say, look, the long tail is really attractive to us because we've already got the infrastructure. And so, you know,
the marginal
registration is actually more or less, right multiple. It makes sense. But to sort of come out and, I don't know. I mean, I don't hate most of these. These are mostly interesting.
Yeah, so 14 you said is what you got by way of overlap?
Yeah, 35% of their applications. I thought it would be more than that.
.aid, like I can't believe, I'm surprised more people didn't apply for that one. That was one that I had on sort of my spreadsheet. The other whole category that I am shocked nobody has tackled, and let's see, maybe Two Cows does it, is like the most common last names. So I thought about actually launching a whole registry business that was just going to be, go for like the top 100 most common last names, you know, your dot Smith, your dot, you know, whatever dot.
What's the possible registrations though? There's not a lot.
I mean, you have 8 billion people in the world. If you take the top 100 last names, let's say of the first world, every individual, you know, there's thousands.
There's only so many first names, dude.
But there's
you're
a lot
get
of
super long still, tail real quick.
Yeah, but you're still, look, I think that number one, what are those domains worth, right? Your top 500 first names in each of the top 100 last names, that's worth, I don't know, certainly a couple hundred bucks a year to somebody to lock that down and have their, you know, exact name. You know, if I could get Andrew.Rosner or Drew.Rosner, was it either one or maybe both for $250 a year, that's a no-brainer.
What's your email address, though?
And then email at Andrew.Rosner.
Fucking sucks, dude.
I mean, I don't know that it's worse than Drew@Drew.com, right? Like, why is that?
I mean, is like Andrew@Rosner.email not better, though?
Not really. I like the idea of, you know, no, I don't think so.
I don't think there's a lot of long tail. I think that's why people haven't applied for those.
I mean, look, if you're talking Dot Smith, like you're talking, I think there is thousands.
There's a glass ceiling though on that, right? You're going to reach it real fast.
Well, Smith, I think, is interesting because Smith, you kind of get into this idea of blacksmith, you know, sort of.
Smith is actually the most
kind of stuff. Like, I think Smith's an interesting one. I'm not saying, look, obviously we didn't like it enough to apply for it. You know what I mean? So, Dan, maybe you should spare your judgment a little bit, you know, Dan, because we didn't apply for it, right? But you're hating on our idea that you know, you're just kind of throwing out there, man. But I'm just, you know. But with that said, I agree. I think that
Dan cut my rope. I was ready to be an applicant, and then Dan cut my rope.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's interesting, just looking at that, because the final one on the list, I just had a glance at it, is Dot Trek.
Mm. Yeah.
So that will obviously appeal to the Trekkies.
Yeah, live long and prosper,
right?
Bro.
Yeah, Star Trek, baby.
Star Trek. But then I was thinking, but
then the bicycle company might have something to say about it.
Exactly. They might not, you know. That might be a fairly painful saddle to sit on if you're not careful.
Yeah.
But who knows? Cool. But it's very cool. And very cool indeed. So will we get invited back? Are we doing well enough today to get invited back?
Absolutely.
Doing great, man.
The more and more, look, as we're recording this, you know, 40 more things just dropped here. You know, that's, call it roughly 10% of what was remaining. So, you know, and Namecheap wasn't really even on my radar of like who was going to come out heavy in this. So I did know that, you know, Richard had some plants. So I expected some, but I didn't know that they'd come out that heavy. 40 is a lot.
It dabbled in the Web3 TLDs as well at one point.
Yeah.
Like me.
Yeah.
So it's not really a surprise.
No, it's not shocking.
I don't know how much of this is Richard at this point, right? I mean,
no, Richard's still driving that ship.
That spaceship, per se?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is fun stuff. This is good. I, as from us, for our standpoint with Domain Sherpa, you know, it just, it's great because it's like, oh, this gives us even more cool stuff to talk about. But I think that there is some
right. Really, and I also awesome, look, I'm a, you know, I'm gonna put the cart before the horse, but I think, well, I'll leave that for another day.
Yeah, but we'll talk. You know, we love having you guys on. We're gonna have a post show conversation about some things, I think. About a few different things. But yeah, this is all good stuff, man. And it's exciting. And we'll have to, like I said, because even as we go through the different steps of what is to come, and I think because you guys are so much at the forefront of what's happening, it's going to be really, really interesting to see, you know, what happens in October, what happens then, and when, you know, the first domains start to be registered in Q1 or Q2 of 2027, and how do each one of these play out? Each one of these is their own project, their own business, their own entity that, you know, is going to have its own path and future. It's going to be really, really neat, you know? So super cool. Super cool. So, all right. Well, look, with that, we're pretty much out of time. So I'm going to go around the horn just in case there's anything else. Drew, any last minute thoughts?
No. I'm actually waiting. I want to see what everybody's got. And,
You guys got Drew all hyped up. Like, this is going to become, he's like, all right, look, we didn't apply for anything, but we got to get involved. You know, like what's, you know, that's where we are now. And that's going to be my job now for the next couple months, probably, is going to be like, hey.
Why don't you see if you can get juegos back?
Oh, dude, we don't play no juegos. I still love it. You know, I still dig it as, again, foreign language DLDs are interesting. And the key is you got to have a plan.
So the two things that I think people slept on is I do think that there is a viable namespace in the most common last names. And then second, and two cows for them, it makes a lot of sense. They've already got the built-in audience with their whole, last name, email address, real name portfolio. And then secondly is, foreign registration, foreign, you know, keywords and stuff. We obviously are seeing some coming out of China, but pretty limited, if any, like Spanish and other language TLDs. And look, I, at the end of the day, English is where commerce happens. It is the global language of commerce. That is not a Western-centric view. That is just a fact. So, it's not surprising, but I do think there's probably, there is probably money left on the table in that space. You know, things like dot Vita, for example, Life, a little Pura dot Vita.
That's Loco.
Yeah, Loco, man. Dot Loco would be great, actually. Dot Loco would be really cool.
So,
did anybody get Dot Loco? That's a great one.
Living the Vida Loca.
So. Yeah, no, exactly. You got it, Jay. You got it, JT.
But yeah.
Loco.
All good. All right, well, cool. All right, well, Vaughn and Dan, anything else then? Just kind of parting thoughts to the audience before we call it?
No, I think just thank you for having us back. It's always a pleasure. We actually look forward to this. It's not with trepidation. It's fun for us. It's fun to come and talk to
fun for
you
us.
Guys.
Why are we doing?
You know, and I would, you know, in the words of the great Nate Smith, if you're aware of him, country singer, he has a song called LFG, which is quite a cool tune. And he says that he's on a roll like he's holding onto aces. Oh, and if you want to throw down, LFG. And I think that's how you feel.
Oh, let's go.
I love it.
Dan?
I think we'll leave it with that one, Abby.
Right, yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, listen, thank you guys so much for being here. Looking forward to the next one. Drew, thank you so much for being here and doing your thing. It's much appreciated. And to the audience, thank you so much for tuning in. You know where to find us, both us and the LFG folks. Get to lfg.link. If you've got any, dig in on all that kind of stuff, got opportunities to connect with them about all these different things. There's definitely a lot there. So, we are all not hard to find. So thank you so much for tuning in. We say it on every show, without you, there is no us. So thank you so much for everybody for tuning in today. And we'll see everybody next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, everybody. And we will see you soon.